Let's take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by acknowledging any known sin if necessary. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you provided for us to gather together again for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word that provides us with the information that we need to have in order to understand your provision for us as we face the challenges that come our way as members of your royal family in the devil's world, recognizing that these challenges provide us with an opportunity to testify for your word of truth or for Satan's lie, and that we are encouraged to learn the word of God so that we can deploy it into our experience and therefore have the benefit of its reality in our thinking that ultimately will be redounding to us as eternal reward. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information is communicated will subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing our study of how the lie becomes so pervasive that it becomes a public lie. For Jesus' statement regarding Satan, the father of lies who deceives the entire world in John 8:44 and Revelation 12:9. So we see here how Satan, remember, the truth always comes out first. The principle always goes back to the truth being what's conveyed first, because God conveys the truth. And then people or creatures, I mean, the same dynamics that have occurred in the human race occurred previously in the angelic realm. And so we're basically a copy of it, although on a much smaller scale as far as power. But volitionally, it's identical. So God is using the testimony of the human race as a witness for or against the truth in what we recognize as the angelic conflict. And so Satan, who's the ruler of the world, uses the media, the academy, the political class to deceive the nations and to believe in the satanic viewpoint is superior to divine viewpoint. So that becomes the issue. I mean, I make the statement once in a while that everything is political. And people kind of chafe at that idea. But in a sense, you have to understand what I mean. When I say everything is political, you're either connected with Jesus Christ, the ultimate victor, or you're connected with Satan, the ultimate one who's defeated. So, and if you think about what politics is, it's association. And association with ideas. So in that sense, even though it's a spiritual conflict and a spiritual battle, it's still, there's an element of identity. Because what happens when a person believes in Jesus Christ, they're transferred out of Satan's kingdom of darkness into Jesus Christ and God's kingdom of light. So we have these two antithetical viewpoints that are, at the moment, in a contest. And God permits the contest because he is the only one that can. You know, he's the one, ultimately the truth wins. But he has to permit the lie to be asserted in order for the case to be made. And so that's where we're at. And to understand how these ideas are promulgated is important. And also it's important for us to understand the implications of it all. And how the truth ultimately benefits us, even though at the present time, it appears that the truth is losing. And the reason it appears the truth is losing is because Satan runs the world. And God is allowing that. So it's only an illusion, though. That's the thing you have to realize. Ultimately, the satanic lie is nothing but smoke and mirrors in the final analysis. Because in the end, God is going to defeat it. And the other factor is that the lies always have seeds of destruction within themselves. Because the truth always wins because the truth has capacity. It always goes back to the principle of integrity. You know, faith, hope, and love. And love is integrity or capacity. Love refers to having God as the power system, whereas the lie and the error has the creature being the power, which is always going to fail because there's no way the creature can deal with the potential range of difficulties. See, that's the big issue. So that's the whole issue of this whole thing. And then, of course, the lie is basically Satan's agenda, in essence. So know that through the institutions and the media, the progressives have replaced divine viewpoint thinking, including establishment and doctrinal viewpoint, with a collectivist, communist, statist, atheistic, politically correct viewpoint. So that's what's ascendant right now. Now, we started in our country with an establishment viewpoint as referred in the Constitution. Was it perfect? No. Nothing man does is perfect. But it was based on true principles. And it was implemented in some cases better than others. But overall, the tendency was towards the Word of God. And that has ceased to be the case now. We're kind of the other way around. The tendency now tends to be away from the Word of God. And in fact, it suppresses it. So that's what you see going on in the world today. That's why when you hear the media or what's happening in the news, you shouldn't be surprised at all that that's what's happening. Because that's Satan runs the world. And at this point, that the nation is in a decline relative to establishment truth. And so when we see these things happen, we shouldn't be at all concerned, really, even. It's rather interesting. We might be, you know, bemused. But, you know, and why would, I mean, it's ridiculous. That, you know, for example, what happened yesterday, where the woman is convicted and then we're not going to charge her. You know, he goes through the whole litany of things that she actually did. Then they prove that she did. And then says, but it doesn't meet the, we don't care. That was how he concluded. That's kind of ironic. And really, it contradicted itself. But whatever, who cares? It's the devil's world. This is what you have to expect. So God permits this because he's permitting Satan to use mankind in his attempt to make his case in the court of trial that is the basis for the resolution of the angelic conflict. So that's the reason behind it all. The reason we have the permissive will of God, the reason we have probation, the reason we have the lie is because of the angelic conflict. That's why. Freedom, in essence. Freedom to say, no, I won't do it that way, even though you say it's the right one. So you have freedom to say no. That's important. And God's not afraid of that. You know, people are. People try to put restraints on others in order to control them because they're afraid of the range of decisions that they can make. God's not at all concerned with that. Because the only way we can get locked into that viewpoint is to recognize that all the loose ends get tied up in eternity. You see, you can't sort it out now. There's not enough time. People aren't going to live long enough. It's all the loose ends, all the details that are unresolved. Like God says, "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord, "I will repay." Well, the reason He can do that, He has eternity to get that sorted out. You know, when you transit from time to eternity at death, then the whole new venue starts, and that's really the beginning. Really get right down to it. So you got a choice. If you're as a believer in Jesus Christ, you're associated with God in heaven, and you have rewards. If you're an unbeliever, you're associated with Satan in the lake of fire, and he has a lot of time to get that nailed down. So we have to defer to God's integrity, because God is perfect love, perfect integrity. So God permits the lie, but in the end, under the principle of "vincit omnia veritas," that's Latin for "the truth always wins," or "wins always truth," as it's inverted in the Latin. The truth always wins because God is true. See, in the final analysis, God is immutable, which means that he cannot change. And in the final analysis, he's righteousness and justice, which means everything has to work out with equality, with perfection. Okay? He's perfect. So he has to have a way of dealing with this. Now, he covered the whole thing with Jesus. Remember that? That's the power. The power of God's love is His grace. Because He made provision through Jesus Christ to suffer any amount of wrong that would come out of this process. See, that's the coin of the realm when you get right down to it. The blood of the Lamb that we understand as the substitutionary spiritual justice of Jesus is the coin that enables God to pay any price for failure. Because the penalty that Jesus paid on the cross was greater than the sum total of the evil of all of mankind for all of history. Now that's a big ticket. But it did it. No matter how egregious the failures of people are, Jesus' work on the cross is greater than it. By orders of magnitude. It's not even close. I mean, it's scratching the surface. Okay? Is really what's happening. Because the power of the cross is so incredible that it can deal with any issue of failure. And really, that's the point. The point is to dealing with the issue. Because failure is what? That's the consequence of believing the lie. So God's in the process of vindicating himself with two cents. So we have seen the consequences of promoting and believing the lie is God causing the terrible things to happen to those who proclaim and believe the public lie. So in the final analysis, the thing wraps around on itself. And Jeremiah, I think it was Jeremiah, Jeremiah called it being marred on the wheel. the whole thing will wrap you up on a wheel. And just imagine how you get caught on a wheel and you can't get out of that wheel. Well, you get wrapped around that wheel. Well, that's what the lie does to you. You cannot extract yourself from it. The only way you can be extracted from it, of course, is the truth, which is ultimately Jesus. So people get wrapped up in the lie and they get completely, they sell themselves to it. It becomes their whole identity, and as we've noted, they actually cannot extract themselves to the point where God actually gives them over to the evil for the purpose of showing that it doesn't work. In other words, he takes it farther than anybody else would take it because he's demonstrating that it's a lie. And there's no better way to demonstrate a lie than to take it all the way to the end where it completely unravels. And then you really know it doesn't work. Now, the only one that can do that is God, because he has the time and the patience and the capacity to do it. We run out of time. We run out of patience, and we don't have the capacity to go there, which is why it's not our job. We just let God take care of it. So the consequence here, the final analysis here, we can do nothing against the truth and only for the truth. And this is one of the best passages. I love it, this passage, because it tells you that if you are taking advantage of the truth, you'll be promoted. And if you're disoriented to the truth, you're going to somehow get crushed. It goes both ways. And God is glorified either way. So God is glorified when he promotes the believer to the maximum for positive volition. He's also glorified, but in a different way, when the unbeliever is consigned to the lake of fire. Because both vindicate him. The consequences of the choices are determined, and that vindicates God. See, so God's glorified in either case. Now, God would prefer, I mean, his desire to Israel was that choose life. That was his desire. That's what he told Israel to do. And the same kind of invitation extends to us. Choose life so that you might live. So God desires for everyone to be saved, and he's made provision for it. But if someone chooses against that, he doesn't reject their choice. He honors it. That the consequences will eventually be paid. So he ultimately makes war against the arrogant and gives grace to the humble, per James 4:6. And the humble are those who believe the truth, and the arrogant are those who believe the lie. I mean, that's as simple a definition as you can get. Because the lie, by definition, is arrogance. You know, when we talk about the invention of the lie, it's in Isaiah, where it starts out in Satan's head, and he alleges that he can become like the Most High, which means he's going to replace God. Now, that's a pretty big ticket. You're going to replace God. You're a creature. You kind of take up space, although angels really don't take up space, but you reside in a moment, in time. And you're going to deal with omniscience? You have a serious mental problem. You think you can deal with that. And you're very powerful, yeah. You're the great anointed cherub. And you're going to deal with omnipotence? I see there's a serious amount of delusion going on here. You know, so that's the problem. Arrogance asserts itself in ways that it cannot implement itself. What's that mean? Negative capacity. That's all. Nothing more. So that's why I say the lie inherently contains the roots of its own destruction within it, because it assumes something it cannot deliver. That's the problem with it. So in the final analysis, the system implodes on the lie and the truth wins. So during the time of probation, while God is permitting the lie to be in play because sentence against evil is not executed quickly, men continue to function in the evil of the lie. So this is God. I call this the rope, the hangman's rope. It's around your neck, and he just keeps doling it out. And the longer it doles out, the faster you go. Okay, so it's around your neck, and you jumped off a building. Just visualize this now. And it turns out the building is 2 or 3 miles high. Now, there's no end to that rope until you get to the end of it, which is 2 or 3 miles from now, and you're halfway down and having a great time. But at the end, it's that head's coming off, baby, because you're going to be going fast, terminal velocity. The neck ain't surviving that power. So that's in essence what God does with it. Because the sentence against evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are fully given to do evil. See, that's why people think they get away with it. And we as believers will say, well, it looks like they're getting away with it. How's that right? But the truth is they're not, because the rope's just being doled out as they accelerate. Eventually, it's curtains. But we don't know when that is. See, it's not our job. And we could be on the other end of the arrow too if we're not careful. You see, we can have mental attitude sins and be in the same situation. Now, we're not going to die because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but you will reap the consequences of your negative volition by loss of reward. So at the evaluation, that's when you'll have, you know, the big bonfire. So we've noted that in the New Testament description of the public lie, in Romans 1:25, where it says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So again, they chose to worship the creature rather than God, the Creator. So that's the essence of the lie. That was the big thing. Satan, when he invented it, he invented worship of himself. I am going to become like God. Rather than worshiping God and honoring God, who God was, you know, and recognizing that God had an incredible plan for him that was beyond what he could ask or imagine, and all he had to do was have positive volition. No. I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it my way. You see, that was the difference. So we do the same thing if we're not careful. And we've noted that Jesus' statement that Satan is the source of the public lie in John 8:43-44. We just noted that. Where it says, why do you not understand that I am saying this? Remember, he's talking to believers here. Believers minus doctrine. Now, he's doing a major segue on these guys. You've got to realize that. These guys were locked into a model of Jewish religion and legalism. And they did believe it. And it says, right in the context, it says that they were believers. If you back up just a verse or two, it says that the ones who believed in him. So but then they think that it's up here a ways. Get too far to it. That gets down into this. So let's get to it, though. To those Jews who had believed in him. Okay, so where we have saved. All right? So these are believers he's talking to here. Now, the problem with them is they believed in him, so they're saved because of identity in Christ. But they don't have any doctrine. What do they have as doctrine? They have the plan that the Jews taught about identity with Abraham being salvation. You know, they thought that by simply being part of that gene pool, naturally, by far, they were saved. And that was a lie. That wasn't true. Because the issue was, Abraham wasn't the gene pool, although it was special because it was the new racial species. It was what Abraham did. And what did he do? He believed. And where did he believe? Ur of the Chaldees. That was way back yonder before he even left. So, he believed and he left God, or left Ur of the Chaldees with nothing, basically. And God says, go over there, across that river. And he went. And it wasn't no small trip. He's in Iraq. And he's traveling to Israel. Walking. You know, we get in a car or an airplane and we're there in a few minutes or an hour or maybe even a day. But no, he's walking. And it was so far he had to stop along the way. And we have the story of how that all worked out. And how his father and his brother went with him, and then they didn't cross over. You see, they separated ways. Because Abraham actually went to the land, and they didn't. See, the only one that went with him across the river was Lot. And he had his own issues. So, the point is, their viewpoint was related to their natural heritage rather than spiritual heritage. And the Word of God is always related to spiritual heritage because natural heritage cannot inherit eternal life. You see, it's the fact that Abraham had believed that had caused him to have eternal life. And that's why the promises of God to Abraham were given, because he had believed, and as a result, the promises could be conveyed. So that's the principle of not all Israel is Israel. That goes into Romans 9, which we haven't studied. But it's something we probably should study. And how the true Israel of God is all believers. You say believers only. Because you can't have eternal promises unless you're a believer. End of story. In any case, no matter where you are in history, believing in Jesus Christ as he revealed to you is salvation. End of story. And that's the only way you transit into eternity where the promises of God can actually be implemented, because that's where it's all sorted out. That's where the loose ends are tied. You see. And if you can't get tied up in devil's world, because devil's running the show, and God can't make it right here. He could try to. I mean, he doesn't even try to make it right. He just says, "Believe in me, and I got you covered." Okay, things will work out for you because I got your back. And maybe the way I get you out of here is death. You know, a lot of people, I don't want to do that. But anyways, that's kind of the way he looks at it, because death is the exit plan sometimes, because things have just got so bad. You know, you're not. What are you going to do? He's going to fix it? No, he's not going to fix it. The devil's role has to keep rolling. So you get to punch up. It's called physical death. You know, it's over. You're absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. Anyways, back to our passage. Why do you not understand that I am saying? So these guys had a problem with his teaching because they didn't get the spiritual concept. And that was the big problem that the Nicodemus had. Now, how can I be born again? I got to go back in my mother's womb and come out of there again? How's that going to happen? And Jesus was amazed. This guy, you're a teacher of the law and you don't understand the spiritual concept. That being born again means that you believed, that you've identified with Messiah. Or in your case, it was Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, the Lord God of the armies. You know, that they said every day in their ritual. But no, they didn't get it. So why didn't understand what I'm saying? Because you cannot hear my word. So they heard it, but they didn't understand it. The word here means to hear with understanding. You are of your father. And the reason they couldn't was their thinking was of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. So this means a believer can be thinking like Satan. Going to heaven, but thinking like Satan. See, that's the problem. And it's easy. There's two categories of believers. We're going to talk about this later and we get to our next subject if we get there. It's in my notes today. There's two categories of believers that follow this case. Category one is a believer that's never received any doctrine at all. He's just saved, and he hasn't spent any time learning at all. So he takes his present frame of reference and just transfers it to his life with God. And it's not accurate because it's built on the devil's system. The other one is the one that rejects it. He had some doctrine, or he potentially learned it, but somehow he choked on it, and he rejected it as a result. So you got two categories of believers, the ones who never knew nothing, and the ones who have used to know something and forgot about it. Because they didn't like it. Okay, those are the kinds of believers that are off the trail. Now these guys never knew nothing. So they didn't have a clue. They were just believers, new believers. So he's trying to teach them, but they're too arrogant to accept it at the moment. Now remember, Paul, what was Paul's attitude towards this? Consider what I say, and the Holy Spirit make it understandable. For he was not in a hurry, and neither was Jesus. Just hang out, and we'll get it figured out. Just don't get upset. So that's one of the big things we have to learn how to do. Just be patient. When we don't understand something, set it aside and wait. And eventually God will bring it around so we'll get it. And he'll illuminate other aspects of the picture, and eventually it'll slide together. It's like building a puzzle. You ever find a piece on a puzzle? How in the world is this going to fit in this thing? And you can't even get a clue about it. Especially if it's a big puzzle with little pieces. And you got this little piece. I don't know what's going on. So what you got to do is you got to fill in all the void around it, and pretty soon, oh, it's got to go right there. It clears the bell once you get all the pieces in. Same, that's exactly the way doctrine is. No different. So sometimes you just have to have the pieces arranged before that piece that you're choking on right now and getting angry about fits. And you just got to wait. So you got no option but to wait. He, that is Satan, verse 44, was a murderer from the beginning and does not understand the truth, or not stand the truth, because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. So this is Satan as the author of the entire system of sin, basically. Everything that's contrary to the integrity of God, Satan invented. And the reason it happened is because God permitted it. Remember, sin always lies in the volition. So the potential existed in the angelic realm, and he chose to go that way. The other angels followed him. In the temporal realm, in the earth, with Adam and the woman, the potential existed with the tree over there, with one command, don't go eat of it. That was it. There was no sin going on here, baby, until she took the tree, the fruit of that tree and ate it, and gave it to her husband, and he ate it. That was the sin. And the sin was not related to the fruit itself at all. It was just a detail. It was a choice. See, that's the nature of sin. Sin is a choice. It's a decision to choose against the integrity of God. That's all. It's real simple. And anything that's against the integrity of God is of Satan. Because he invented the system. So that's why it goes back to Satan, who's the father of this whole thing. So these Jewish believers could not understand Jesus' doctrinal teaching because their minds were blinded as a result of believing Satan's public lies. See, the problem is, when you think you're right and you're wrong, you're in the worst situation. Because you're not willing to change. And that, so what happens has to happen in those situations is God has to bring circumstances into your life where you, your assumptions that you've made to think you're right have are demonstrated to be false. And sometimes that takes a lot of pressure. And sometimes that never happens, which we've talked about that, how some people are so negative that there's nothing that will change them. So their destiny is a lake of fire. In fact, most of the Jews, that's what happened to them. They were so blacked out with negative volition to Jesus' person when he revealed himself to them in that generation that they mostly rejected him. There were a few that accepted him, but very few did. That's why we're in the church age now and not in the millennium. Actually, we'd have been past it. We'd be in eternity. You know, because it was 1,000 years. That would have over. That was over 1,000 years ago. So we've been at 2,000 years downstream from that point, and you know it's still not the Jewish time yet, because the church is there. Well, of course, God turns the curse into a blessing as always. More people got saved. See, that's you and me. We wouldn't be here were it not for that. So God had us in mind. So that was a good thing, because they had believed in Satan. They had not accepted. They could not accept the truth. So again, you can only believe one thing at a time, really. You have to choose what it's going to be, and you can only believe that one. What, I mean, in any given aspect of something, you only can believe one thing. It is either the truth or the lie. And as we've noted, the principle of the truth, narrow is the way, and broad is leads to life, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. So the truth is one thing. And it's the single word for that is Jesus. You know, if you want one word for truth, it's Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and life. Okay? So, but it's more complex than that, because it's not only Jesus' person, but it's his word, his thinking. But there's only one truth in any situation. And you either, you believe that and are benefited, or you disbelieve it and you suffer the consequences. And of course, that goes back to the principle of faith. Faith is important, but faith is not magic. Faith is simply accepting the truth that someone else who's smarter than you told you, and complying with that truth because you believe them. That's faith. So you actually, the technical way of saying faith is believe the doctrine. The doctrine is the truth that was told you, like the stove is hot. Johnny, the stove is hot. Don't touch the stove. Well, Johnny believes the parent and doesn't touch the stove, and as a result, his hand's not burned. Whereas some other kid doesn't believe the parent and touches the stove, and his hand's burned, he has to go to the hospital. All right, one kid was benefited by faith. The stove was hot, and he didn't touch it, and he believed. That's faith. The other kid, the faith was still there. The stove was hot. The doctrine didn't change. But the kid touched it, and as a result, his hand got burned. So he was negative. No faith. See, but it didn't change the facts. The stove was hot. See, that's why you can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. The truth is true. It's an independent variable. It's fixed. It's reality. It is the truth. Now, God allows people to dance around, as we can see in our country today, and try to make the truth into a lie, and the lie into the truth. And that gets real interesting, because then you have a choice, right? You always have a choice. It just makes it more. This is the public lie. This is where the public lie becomes public opinion. That's our topic. So they could not understand Jesus' doctrine of teaching because their minds were blinded as a result of believing the Satan's public lie. The public lie was that they were saved as a product of being Abraham's genetic seed, which wasn't true. They were saved because they believed in Jesus, the Messiah. Well, in their vernacular, it was Messiah or Adonai, depending on where you want to look it up. But in essence, that's Jesus because that's how we know him. Because they had believed Satan, they could not accept the truth. See, you only believe one thing at a time. It's easy to proclaim the public lie when there's no truth in you, so there's no truth in those who believe the public lie. So in essence, what we've got here are believers going to heaven who have no doctrine, and they're not benefited by the fact that they are saved. See, that's the problem. They're saved and they're going to heaven, but they can't be benefited by that because they won't believe it. You see, that's the thing. That goes right back to the stove. The person's benefited by virtue of believing that the stove is hot. The stove's hot. Believe it or not, the stove's hot. Okay? It's that simple. Now, the stove's not always hot, but it was that day. Right, so that's the principle. That's how faith works. And it isn't magic. It's simply believing what the Bible says, and we've talked about how that works in history. In fact, we saw it the other day with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, where the earth had an earthquake, and they sucked them down into the ground, and they were standing on top of it. And pretty soon, they were gone. And we talked about it in Mark, how the ocean, how the mountain of olives is going to be thrown into the Dead Sea. And it's going to be a plain. And Jerusalem's going to be a seaport. You know, all kinds of cool stuff. You know, the topography of the earth is going to change radically when Jesus comes. So there's going to be lots of earthquakes, lots of places. The public lie enables the beast dictator of the tribulation to acquire power. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Now this is the ultimate liar. You probably could say that. Close to the ultimate liar, one of the top guys. Right? He's certainly right up on the top. I mean, there may have been some good ones back before the flood, probably were. And there were certainly some good ones during Jesus' personal public ministry. But this guy takes the cake. He's pretty good. As he gets mentioned here. He says in the last part of 2 Thessalonians, this is the beast, the dictator. This is when this guy shows up when you're gone. Okay, so you don't get to meet this guy straight up. Resurrection, he shows up. Okay, now he's in the wings, waiting. He's being prepared, you know, because you don't suddenly become the ruler of the world. You have to kind of have some pipe laid for you to become ruler of the world. Let me look at our next president, possibly. She's had some pipe laid for a long time, and so now she thinks she's going to be the big boss. We'll see. But the point is, it takes a lot of time sometimes to have pipe laid. Years. So this guy's sitting on the wings, doing important heavy lifting in the world system while the church is running here, and God's restraining it all. And then suddenly the church is gone, and God takes all the releases off. You know, the nuclear reactor is running full blast now. There's no rods in the core. He just yanks them out. That's you. You're the core. I mean, that's a good way to view the church. Each one of you is a rod going down in the core of the nuke. The nuke is the world. And you're restraining the nuke from blasting off. Well, the restraints are gone. The rods are out. The church is gone. And that nuke's running flat out. And it's going to blow up in less than 7 years. I mean, it's going to just go nuclear completely. But they don't know that. They think it's going to be cool. So the one who's coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, all power and miracles and false wonders. So he's set up by ability to do miraculous things. And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish. So in other words, he deceives the ones who believe the lie. In fact, at the beginning of the tribulation, who's on the earth? Unbelievers only. So everyone that's there has bought the lie already in the church age when they had the option to believe and be resurrected instantaneously. You know, if they were in that generation, they just, boom, gone. Okay? So the rapture generation, they're in it. They say no, they're going to die. They're of those who perish. Now, unless, of course, they believe in Jesus. And when they do believe in Jesus, they get to die anyway, because that's one of the things that happens to people who believe during the tribulation. You know, it's political correctness. We don't have nothing like that yet. We're trying to get there. But they have serious political correctness. Which, if you don't comply with this guy, you get to die. So they're going to have serious capital punishment. So, anyways, they perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason, so here they are, God is going to ramp up their negative volition. Now, actually, they're going to ramp up their own negative volition, but God's going to allow the beast power to send the delusion. God sends a deluding influence or an activity of error upon them so that they might believe the lie. So again, the entire world at this point is locked in negative. To the point, I mean, if you read in, I think it's in Revelation, pretty certain. I think it's in Zechariah. I think it's in Revelation, where these guys are so negative that when Jesus comes back, they don't want to believe in Jesus. They want the rocks to fall on them so that they die. You ever read that? It's pretty cool. You know, these guys are so negative. They don't want to change their mind. No, we couldn't do that. But we would like to die to get out of here. Because the pain is so bad. And this is Jesus showing up. They're so scared of it. It's hilarious. You know, but rather than change their mind and believe, no, we can't do that. So that's how knocked in negative they are. They would rather die an unbeliever than to change their mind and be a believer. How about that? So that's how negative. In order that all who did not believe the truth, but instead took pleasure in wickedness, that they may judge. So God allows them and gives them over to it in order to demonstrate the full extent of negative volition. See, there's nothing like testing something by demonstrating how it works, right? Build it and make it work, right? So that's what God's doing here with ideas. It's all about ideas. Remember, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers and evil spirits in heavenly places. The big bosses that are behind the little bosses that are running the show, like the people at 1600 PA and Avenue and places, you know, like that. They're the little bosses. The big boss is invisible. He's behind the scenes. Right? That's who we're really against. It isn't the guy that's living there that we can see. It's the guy that's around that guy or in him, as the case may be. So the point is, our battle is an idea battle. And it's all about the truth versus the lie. And so the situation here is God is allowing, especially during the tribulation, remember the rods are all pulled out. We're on full blast negative here. This is approaching the circumstances, the ideological circumstances prior to the flood. Unlimited full power negative volition. And you even have angelic interference going on here, as was the case with the flood. The antediluvian civilization, you had angels and people cohabiting. Alright? So, it was a range of evil that was going on in that time frame that will be duplicated during the tribulation. Not now, because the church is here and God is restraining it. So we don't have a clue as to how bad this is likely to be. But it's going to be like it was during Noah's time. And remember, Noah talked to these guys how long? 120 years. Now, they lived a long time. They didn't die like we would have. But these guys lived like 900 years, most of them. So he preached to them for 120 years while he's building the ark in the desert. He's got this big ship. You know, they haven't seen water like this ever. That's because there probably wasn't any. And they've never seen water. And then they're saying, you're going to build this ship and you're going to put animals in there and it's going to float? I mean, these guys were flabbergasted. That's impossible. Not going to happen. Well, it did, you see. But it was 120 years later. And they said no. Nobody said yes, except this guy's family. I mean, that tells you how small things can get. 8 people. The entire world was reduced to 8 people at that point. The point is, though, that the negative volition could be what? Judged. God is going to judge it. So he lets it go as big as possible. Now, he always snatches victory from the jaws of defeat. That very last minute, I got my 8. That's all I need. Got him on that boat, and he's floating them down the road. The same thing happens in the tribulation, basically. I mean, Jesus comes back in the nick of time when the entire world, the armies of the world, are leading a battle against Jerusalem to wipe out the Jews. That's what they're trying to do, because part of the lie is the Jews are the cause of the problem. And that's what Satan, of course, wants them to believe, so that they will kill them all, because then God can't keep his promises. See, there you go. So, anyways, he allows that same exact dynamic occurs at the end of the tribulation. And, of course, they all get wasted. You know, that's why the blood is 6 feet deep for something like 100 square miles. That's a lot of blood. It's people's blood, not animals. It's people's blood, okay? That's a lot of blood. Big piece of real estate down there. This passage tells us that when people reject the truth, the only alternative is for them to believe the lie, because only Jesus Christ and God's Word are truth. And everything that is not from Jesus and God's Word is the lie. And so that's the challenge. And the only way you can know the truth is to have the Word of God in your thinking. See, we have the principle. Prove all things, 2 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. So the challenge to us is to test what is true. And then hold fast to what is. That's our job. That's the mandate given to us. And that's the essence of our testimony. You know, we're going to be bombarded with the whole realm of potential. In fact, as in a declining client nation like we are, we're going to have a lot of negative things, of things that are disoriented to truth. That's the status quo. That's where we are. And God's not taking us out of it. God says, what did Jesus say to God the Father in the prayer about the disciples? Keep them from the evil one. You know, they're in the world. They're not of it. But keep them from the evil one. In other words, how are you kept from the evil one? Doctrine. It's doctrine in your soul that protects you from the evil one. Because the evil one is foisting the lie. You see. Doctrine is the answer. Doctrine equals the mind of Christ. Satan will use this man of sin to proclaim the public lie, and God will send a deluding influence on those who believe the lie, so that they will become locked into believing the lie, and the man of sin will acquire and maintain his power over them through his use of the public lie, to the point where they will not change their thinking. I mean, there's very few of those initial groups of people that are saved. People come along later. Remember, there's 7 years. There's kids born. There's all kinds of stuff going on. The Jews, you got 144,000 of them that start out at the beginning, pretty much. They were unbelievers until we got out of here. And then they said, oh, the book was right. I was wrong. So they changed their mind. So you have 12,000. You have the 12,000 from the 12 tribes, all the tribes except Dan. So that's why you have that. They start out. That's the starting group of believers who then bring truth about Jesus to the whole world, ultimately. So believers who do not love God's word of truth are very easily deceived and sucked into the public lie. This compromising of truth in the thinking of believers is a continuing trend throughout human history because God permits negative volition as part of the angelic conflict. So we always got to remember, see, God's allowing this. And he's ultimately allowing this to our benefit. Because this becomes the place where we deploy the word of God that glorifies God. And to the extent that we glorify God, we receive reward. See, the rewards that you receive at the evaluation are all related to your deploying the word of truth in the face of opposition. So when you're tested in one way or another, old sin nature tests, whatever, any venue, attitude tests, mental tests, overt, whatever kind of test it is, when you resist that with doctrine, you're testifying for God. And that ultimately redounds to your receiving blessing from God. You see. And we always have this get out of jail free card too. It's called rebound. Reset the button and start over. You can always do that. You start with a clean slate. I mean, it's all judged on Jesus. So God's not in the business of condemning anybody unless they go all the way to the end minus Jesus Christ, at which point they were already condemned. That's John 3:18 and 36. You see. It's not his desire that happened. That's just what happens because he permits. That's a part of the range of freedom that's available. That's all. So since he allows that larger range to exist, that potentiality exists. And it's a necessary artifact of freedom. Because if you can't choose that worst consequence, then you aren't free. You see? You're a robot in some manner or fashion. You're limited. And God's not in the business of limiting people's freedom. He wants people who will comply with his mandates and believe in him, minus any coercion at all, ever. He wants complete free volition. That's what he wants. He wants people who have positive volition, and that's what he wants. Uncoerced positive volition. That's what he wants. The public lie exists in two categories. First, the public lie discredits establishment truth in politics and temporal leadership. That's what we see outside in the news. And for example, socialism is a public lie. Free enterprise capitalism is establishment truth. Those who communicate and believe socialism or communism is better than free enterprise are creating and believing the lie. So it's people fall for it because they think that they're going to benefit from it. But the reality, it limits freedom. That's the problem with socialism. Both socialism and communism limit freedom. They limit the freedom to fail. And they limit the freedom to succeed. See, capitalism allows the free range of both. Now, people get upset because this guy's got a lot and this guy's got nothing, and they blame the system. But that's not the reason. The reason was volition. And if it wasn't that person's volition, it was somebody else's that was related to them. Blessing by association. Because not everything that you get, did you get because you got it, because you did it. Some people do, but most people don't. They get it from their parents. It's still God providing the capacity. You see. So in fact, the Bible talks about, and if you look at Exodus 20, it talks about the blessing of God that rolls down from generation to generation. It compounds. So if you have positive volition, that's why our nation is, they call it white privilege, and they're saying, oh, this is bad. Well, no, it's great, because this country was formed on the basis of truth. And over generations, some of that in some places has compounded. And so we've got people in our generation that have huge prosperity that they didn't actually earn themselves, but they inherited it. And that's a good thing. provided, of course, they can deal with it. And that was because of the positive listen of the intervening generations. It's like money in the bank with compound interest. It's exactly like that. I mean, you can't beat 4 or 5 generations of positive listen to the Word of God compounding. I mean, it's unbeatable. It's better than money in the bank. You see, because it's not rust and mold doesn't corrupt it. You see, it's God is going to impute blessing to those people because of their relationship with Him over the by blessing association. Now, the flip side is also true. Cursing by association. So there can be people in a world of hurt through no fault of their own because of negative volition from their parents and their grandparents. Now, how do they fix that? The Bible tells you how to do that. Rebound. You can get right back with the plan and start with generation one. You be the first one. Positive listen to the Word of God. All right? There's always a generation one somewhere. The people who started here back in the 1600s, 1700s, they were that first generation. They came here with nothing, most of them. A lot of them died. But that started it. So that's why there's great diversity. And then some individuals actually have the capacity to acquire based on having understanding of the way things work and being in their, you know, inventing something. That happens too. So you have people actually earn their money. They call that new money. So that happens in certain venues and you have a new area. So the point is free enterprise creates a maximum range of potential, which is what you want. You don't want government in the way limiting that. And today we don't even have free enterprise. We haven't had free enterprise in 100 years. Second, the public lie is used to discredit the teaching of God's word of truth in those who communicate it. Those who foster the public lie always try to suppress the communication of God's word of truth in every venue. So that's the spiritual battle. The battle against the idea of Jesus Christ and the Word of God and divine establishment truth. They want to suppress that. The reason the Constitution is under assault by evil politicians in our nation is because it protects the freedom to communicate God's Word of truth, and those who have bought the lie do want to suppress God's Word of truth. So the real bottom line of the suppression of truth relates in the final now. I mean, if you go up again, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Look behind the scenes at who's running the show. Satan and his boys. So, Satan and his fallen angels are running the show, and they want what? They want the truth. They want Jesus Christ, the truth of Jesus Christ suppressed. They want freedom suppressed. Because if you can suppress freedom, then there's no gospel. I mean, think about it. Go around the world and see where there's no freedom. You can start in Iran and Saudi Arabia and all those countries there. I mean, there's about as deceived as you can possibly get. And there's how much gospel is there? Zero. I mean, somebody may show up there with the gospel, but they get run out of Dodge if they survive. Okay? They kill them. Put them in jail. They do that in Iran all the time. And we pull people back out of there. I mean, there's people who are naturally, they're like Paul. They're Iranians by descent. They have a desire for their people. And they go, they're believers. They grew up here or someplace where they learned the word of God. They go back over there and they try to proselyte. And it's not a good place to be. Same thing that happened to them happened to Paul. You're thrown in jail. Okay? Same exact dynamic, only Paul got, well, God had a plan for Paul. In this case, you're in the church age and you're not writing any Bible scriptures. So he might just let you die. That's your punch out. Or somebody maybe will come over and get you. Who knows? Whatever. The point is that there's compounded negative volition, and that's the kind of places where it exists. Now, again, the Arab countries are entirely unique in many regards because they have an ace in the hole. Abraham! So that's not really representative. You know, this is not it's very unequally divided because the rich boys, the big bosses have all the money. But the point is those nations are very prosperous because of Abraham. Remember, you got to realize that's the other, that's Keturah's kids and, you know, that the other bunch. So they have blessing from God, but they don't know it, but they do. All that oil came from God. Another principle is if you believe the lie, you will live by the lie because if you believe the lie, you must have previously rejected God's word of truth. See, always the truth comes first. That's the principle you always have to remember. People who are believing the lie have rejected the truth at some point or another along the way. Even those who are being cursed by association have the option to have positive volition and reset the process. And that's, again, this is the first four or five verses in Exodus 20 describes this whole process. Where if the generation, each generation is responsible for itself. Now, there is a compounding of negative volition if you continue the negative volition. But you can, anybody can punch out anytime they want just by believing in Jesus and then operating in the spiritual life. And the whole thing resets at that point. So our nation could be reset in a generation. All we need is enough positive volition for that to happen. You know, and who knows, it may. We don't know. We have no idea what the future holds. This rejection is of truth. This rejection of the truth is a consequence of having wrong priorities, refusing consistently to listen to Bible teaching from the right pastor, or by hearing the word but refusing to metabolize it because of unbelief or becoming distracted away from it. So those are the things that take us away from the truth. It just doesn't become a priority for us. Or there's just other things that we want to do that are more important. So we leave off. We do other things. That's how you end up leaving. And that's why you say, well, that can't happen. Well, it can. Because Satan will do his level best to get things in going in your life to stop you from advancing. He'll bring prosperity in. He'll bring adversity in. Whatever it takes. I mean, he's got most of us all figured out anyway. He's probably seen 5 or 10,000 of us before we showed up, or people just like us. So he's got a notepad on you. He's got it all covered, and so he knows what's going to suck you in, and it's going to suck me in. So he has a way of getting to us. And again, if we failure is not a problem though. Remember, rebound. You can bail right back out. So that's the issue, is to persistently go negative and not rebound. That's a bad thing. So without Bible doctrine circulating in the stream of consciousness under the mentorship of God the Holy Spirit, the believer has no capacity to believe the truth. So again, God the Holy Spirit is the coin of the realm in understanding doctrine. And of course, that's the consequence of what? 1 John 1:9. Problem-solving device number 2 is the filling of the Spirit, remember? So that's, the Holy Spirit is critical. Failure to function under the ministry of God's Holy Spirit results in the believer becoming vulnerable to believing the public lie, and whatever truth that remains in the stream of consciousness is suppressed by scar tissue of the soul. So, if you're negative and you persist in negativity, the scar tissue of the soul, that is the wrong ideas, will override what you used to know. No, I mean, I say, it's the principle of the rate of forgetting is greater than the rate of learning. So eventually, I mean, I say this regularly. I wish I could remember all the things I used to know. And that's me. I'm studying all the time. I'm still wishing I could remember all the stuff I used to know. Because I forget the stuff faster than I learn it. And I got to go back and relearn it. And it's kind of a pain. So I wish I could remember all the stuff I used to know. Now, it's easy to learn it the second time because it comes back faster. But even still, you still forget stuff. It's real easy to forget. The natural man here does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. See, the things of God are acquired on the basis of spiritual IQ. And that's a product of the Holy Spirit working in you. So you can't, I mean, in other words, the difference between spiritual IQ and human IQ is the capacity to understand the principle of grace in the whole picture. That's the big piece of it. That God is working in you, and God is the source. It's not what you are, it's what God has done. And you're His workmanship, that whole thing. That was what Paul was. He says that God's grace was in him more than the others, and it was not anything that he did. He just persisted in positive volition, and so the grace compounded. So, and that's how it actually works. The natural man can understand the facts of the process, but they won't believe the spiritual context. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. So in other words, you can come up with someone that knows the Bible better than you, but if they aren't operating under the ministry of the Spirit and learning the Bible in a categorical context so they can actually understand how to use the information, it isn't benefiting them. And if they're an unbeliever, it's not at all. But you can find unbelievers who are really smart who actually have memorized the entire book, but they can't really use the information. It's just there. It's like reading out, you know, reading it off of a computer. It doesn't mean anything to them. It's just, by the Bible is literature. You know, that's what it is. You know, and they really reject what it says because they don't understand it. And he goes on to 15. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. So you become an enigma to the natural person when you understand this. It's the principle of God providing for you in grace things that are beyond the normal capacity. That's the real miracle of the Christian life. The power of God's grace in the believer with doctrine. Because that's when you're planted, as in Jeremiah 17, you're as the one planted by in a dry area, that there's a river flowing underneath your roots. And the Word of God is that river. So you're sustained in the midst of adverse circumstances that blow people away. They dry up and tumble away like a tumbleweed, and you're secure in that dry desert. The dry desert is the world. Because the Word of God, you have your taproot sucked into the Word of God, into the reservoir of the Word of God. So when believers choose to believe the public lie, they become spiritually blinded by scar tissue of the soul, blackout of the soul, emotional revolt of the soul, and garbage in the subconscious mind from suppressing the truth in their thinking. And we'll pick up here next time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provide for us to study your Word and for the blessing it is to have the awareness of your provision for us. Help us to recall and apply the principles here into our lives as we face the challenges that come our way, especially as our nation is in a state of decline. And remain in absolute confident expectation from you at all times, because we know that you are greater than who is in this world. And we ask this, thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.